He grew up in a sort of a similar neighborhood. My first job as an assistant pastor, the pastor I worked for, bought a house for $2,000, and that should make anybody nervous. And it was right smack dab in the middle of the projects. That was rough, but we only stayed there for 3 years. But what you're seeing here is you're seeing your future. That's what you're seeing. You're just starting out in the identical ministry, other than the semen thing, that he's doing. And he's at that spot where they're praying, Lord willing, somebody else will, God will help them and send somebody in their direction. But what you just saw them read and talk about, that's the life that you're getting ready to go. And may I tell you something? If that was your son or your daughter, would you want them to go do that by themselves? So just think about that, if you would. I just thought that was. I enjoyed your presentation was great. I mean, I really liked those testimonies there. And then listening to you, I feel like I'm doing nothing in Africa at all. You can go ahead and sit down. I don't want to make your husband stand anymore. Can you hear me? Oh, is this because this is there's buzzing going on up there? Is it in my head or is it in... Huh? It was probably because I laid the microphone thing on here. So I just thought that was neat. You know, you know, listening to your stuff and then seeing, you know, a life down there. Those ministries are hard. What I'm doing, you know, we have an orphanage. And that's not the main thing that we're doing. But, you know, everybody gets excited about little kids, you know, that, you know, don't have a lot of clothes, no shoes. And it's very difficult to try to even fathom, because most people try to stay away from where they're going. You know, we don't spend a lot of times in those parts of the town. In fact, a lot of people, I can say my kids have probably never been in a real inner city environment. And you forget that, man, there are thousands of people. And it's not something that, especially since it is in the U.S., and whether we like it or not, things that are in the U.S., tend to struggle a little bit more in the area of finances because people don't look at that as much of a need as you do in some place like Africa. But I'm just being honest with you. What they have to deal with is harder than where I live, okay? And that's just the truth. And so we probably shouldn't put labels on things. When there's people involved, it's a worthwhile expenditure of our mission money to reach people. You know, where they are doesn't matter as much to the Lord as who they are. Amen. And so, you know, I was really struggling which way to go. Well, I'm up here talking, take your Bibles and go to Luke chapter 13. I'm just trying to, you know, having been in so many missions conferences and then at Slippery Rock, we would have sometimes 25 missionaries a year come through, not including our missions conference. And one of the reasons is because we had a dentist in our church that took care of every missionary that came by. We had a prophet's chamber. And, you know, so we encouraged that. We had a lot of missionaries, heard all kinds of mission messages. And, you know, the whole really idea about, and you guys get faith promise. I mean, you've had some really good people come through here and go verse by verse as what faith promise is. And what I found out is once you've got that as a platform, really it all breaks down to this, is give a person a reason to give, and they'll give. And I can't do that. Only the Lord can do that. So we're just going to look at his attitude towards people tonight. And like I said, I went kind of back and forth of which way to go. And, you know, it's very easy to get disconnected. I can't expect you, nor is it fair for me, to hold you accountable for what I know. I have seen some things and been in some rough areas in Africa. I can tell you about people suffering. I can tell you about poverty like you've never seen poverty. But it would be unfair for me to hold you accountable because you've not been there. And seeing does affect your heart. There's no doubt about that. So sometimes we can be disconnected with the human element of the world that we live in, and we can shut the suffering off. Especially as being conservative, independent Baptists, you know, we do need to build walls in the world that we live in. There's no doubt about it. We need to have standards and we need to have convictions. But sometimes those very things, same things, can also in the process end up being blinders to the world that we live in. And the day that we forget what's out there, the day that we forget, and I love it how this brother, and I have no idea what your testimony is, but when I look at you, I don't see a wretch. I see a saint. I see somebody that's been serving God in a place that I probably wouldn't go, and I'm just being honest to you. But somewhere in this man's heart, at one point, he saw himself as a wretch. Sometimes we forget that. But that's the beginning of all of us.
Amen.
No matter what the testimony is. I mean, he could have gone to church his whole life. And the biggest thing he ever done is steal a pen. But a person without Christ, that's what we are. So let's look at this evening. Let's pray and we'll get going. Father, thank you for your word. And Father, thank you for the truth that's in it. Thank you, Lord, for what we've seen already challenging our heart. And Lord, we can't do this. Father, this older couple, they need somebody to take their place. Lord, they're still willing to keep going. They need somebody to come alongside of them right now. And Lord, you're sovereign and you don't have to ask permission to do anything. Lord, you look at their health and you just think, there ought to be some healthy people in this room. That they would be a good candidate because of what they're doing, but you know best. And Father, I pray you'd provide for them, this couple going to Boston. Lord, I pray that you would make the journey there quick. That you would provide what they need to be able to start in this very similar ministry. And Lord, I just pray tonight that you would reconnect our hearts to the humanity in which we live in and around. Oh, Lord, we could feel what you feel. We love you. Thank you, Lord, for being very kind, patient to us, not giving us what we deserve. And Lord, I just pray you'd help us this evening. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. In Luke chapter 13, and verse 1, the Bible says, there were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans. Now, this is a couple verses that I came across today. And to be honest with you, I've never spent a lot of time thinking about this until this afternoon. So let me read it again. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifice. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18, now he's talking about another specific event that happened in that time. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them. Think ye that ye were sinners, that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? So that's kind of an interesting little story there. It talks about these two events that happened to the Galileans and then to these other people where a tower actually fell on them and they died. And the talk of that time was, man, these must have been terrible people because these things happened to them. That's what they were going over. And Jesus was saying, listen, do you think that just because this happened to them, that they were the greatest sinners in the whole entire world? And that's why this happened to them. And then he said, if you don't repent, speaking to them personally, you're going to see worse than this. And then he talks about the next one. He said, do you suppose this tower that fell on these people and killed them, that happened because they were worse than the rest of you? And that was God's judgment. What he was doing to the religious people was getting them to remember where they came from. One of Jesus's, the greatest obstacle that, thank you, there's something humming up there, but I'll just walk away from it. One of the greatest obstacles that he had was from religion. If you think about it today, our dollar still says on it, in God we trust. That the foundations of our country, you know, go deep in the Bible. And there are churches all across America, yet we are losing the battle and Christianity. And I don't know if we can just simply blame it on the world that we live in. I believe that we may have to take some of that blame because we've become disconnected to the world that we live in. And we are forgetting from where we came and the obligation we have to the gospel because we're recipients of it. And sometimes it's easy to look out there and condemn them when all of us, if we were to get what we deserve from God, nobody could stand. We'd all be in trouble. And I am glad that God has not given me what I deserve. And he's just reminding them in these two stories. He was saying, and you know, listen, don't be so judgmental and don't look down on these people because if you don't do right, you're going to end up worse than they did, okay? Go to Luke chapter 7. So he was just reminding them to not forget about people. Luke chapter 7 and verse 34. Luke chapter 7 and verse 34. The Bible says this, the Son of Man is come. And this is what Jesus was talking about. He says, the Son of Man is come eating and drinking. And you say, behold, a gluttonous man and a wine bibber and a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of all her children. So he's telling them the religious crowd around him looked at what he was doing. Can you imagine this? Okay, they looked at what he was doing and the fact that he was interested in reaching people. And these people were lost people. And may I remind you something? You know, an old preacher told me one day, don't be surprised when lost people act like lost people. They're lost. You know, they don't know the terms we learn like amen, you know. I mean, hey, Brother Wesley, can you imagine the first time you ever said amen? There was a time a few years ago, and now it's been more than that, you know, Wesley wasn't saved, and probably amen wasn't part of his vernacular. You know, I mean, we get used to those kinds of things so that when we're around a lost person, sometimes we go in spasms, you know, because they act like lost people. You know, Jesus was spending time with lost people. And the religious community is talking about him because he's caring for lost people. Well, when Jesus went to heaven, he gave us that charge because he's not here anymore. And he said, go in all the world and preach the gospel. So that was part of that given to us. And you know what he did? He spent his time with sinners. Now, there was a couple in our church that were living together. In fact, very awkward, they would sit on the front row, okay? Front row. And I would preach about that's not something that, I mean, I preached on it hard. They would sit on the front row during communion, okay? When we did communion, I always read the disclaimer in the Bible where it says, the Surgeon General says this could cause damage to your health. I would read that, okay? I would cover that very clearly, what it says about it. And they would sit on the front row. Well, he would take communion, she wouldn't. And man, there's some people that get so upset. I said, nowhere does it say that I'm supposed to go down there and take it out. I told him, okay? Very clear. This is what you're dealing with if you do this. Now, you're responsible for that on your own. And then somebody would come to me, you know, Maggie and I would take them out to dinner. And they would say, what do you think you ought to do that? And I'm like, well, why not? See, they were confusing the kindness of God with me being okay with their sin. And of course I wasn't okay with their sin. Jesus wasn't okay with what the woman caught in adultery did. Nowhere did he ever say that was okay. He wasn't okay with that. We all know he was against that. Okay, but he would show them compassion. And these religious people, they would say things like this, and then, you know, and then actually talk about what Jesus came here to do. Look here in verse 37 of the same chapter. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, and the Pharisees, these are like the religious people, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now listen, look what Jesus had to put up with. And may I tell you today, if Jesus had to put up with it, you know, we're going to have to put up with it. This is the criticism he received. Okay? All right? Now when the Pharisees which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, which is a bad thing to do when you're with the creator of the universe that can read minds. The CIA has nothing on Jesus, all right? And the bad thing to do is you're in trouble if you're in a room or anywhere because he can read your thoughts. And this guy's having these thoughts and Jesus is about ready to make them public. Now, when the Pharisees which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner a woman that is that touches him. And that right there is the problem. Do we honestly think what sin plunged the whole world into darkness? Was Adam and Eve doing drugs in the Garden of Eden? No. In fact, we have this list of 10 sins that are like really bad sins. And do you know the one that plunged the whole world into darkness isn't even on that list? Simple disobedience, which hammers everybody in this room. Do you know, Pastor, if God said, don't touch that wall and you touched it, it's a sin. That simple. Even though it doesn't, in our mind, God said, don't eat that tree. They ate that tree. It was as bad as anything else he said not to do. What makes something wrong? Why is adultery wrong? Because we say it's wrong? No, it's because God said it's wrong. Why is stealing wrong? Because Dave Barnhouse said, don't take my stuff. No, because God said, don't do it. He is the word and the final word. And what Adam and Eve did is just as bad as any other sin in the whole entire world, which brought sin on everybody. And here this guy is, who is a sinner, is actually saying about this woman, well, if he only knew who she was. But if he treated that Pharisee like he should have been treated, Jesus would have never entered his house because it's the same sinner in a different package. But that guy forgot that. Do you know something? People sometimes over the years, they'll say, why do you always, when I come to church, you always make me feel bad like I'm no good? Hello? This is a news bulletin. We're no good. Okay? None righteous. No, not one. What makes the cross so wonderful is that I'm no good. If I was, then that wouldn't be a special place. I wouldn't need it. But man, I needed it. And I'm no good. And neither is any other human being. But in this particular story, that guy became disconnected with people. Do you know the battle of sin is not God's battle? He doesn't need to even get involved in it, Pastor. Can sin hurt God? Nope. He has diplomatic immunity, amen? Okay? Sin doesn't hurt God. Is the devil ever going to defeat God? No. I wonder why God doesn't say, all right, let's just get this over with. You meet me on some obscure planet, and we're going to see who's the most powerful. And then he's not worried about the devil. In that Garden of Eden, Satan attacked that which God loved. And on that moment, God got in the battle. He's not fighting for himself, Pastor. He's fighting for us. And when we got saved by simply receiving that gift, we joined the army. And that which he cares about should naturally be what we care about. And he cared about people. So go to Luke chapter 18 and verse 9. Luke chapter 18, verse 9 says this, "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others." So here's a group of religious people that had been that has been disconnected from reality. Two men went up into the temple. So he had to tell this story. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee, that's the church goer, that's the Sunday school teacher, that's the religious person. And the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Have you ever heard this? You know, somebody starts out in prayer and they say, "Our deepest dear Heavenly Father," and you're thinking like, where were you on Monday? You know, that doesn't even sound like them, you know? Well, that's what's happening here. All of a sudden this guy's praying and everybody's around him saying, "Who's this?" You know, he breaks out in his prayer and he says, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week and I give tithes of all that I possess." This is Jesus telling this story. It's a parable, but no doubt something he's witnessed as he looks from heaven down onto earth on these empty prayers of self-righteous people. And he's letting them know, this is what I think about that. Okay? All right. Verse 13, "And the publican," the guy that comes to church and doesn't know how to act, may even have a cigarette out in the parking lot and we don't know what to do with him, you know? All right? And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Well, that kind of lets us know what Jesus thinks about when we become disconnected with the world that we live in. And the fact that sin, whether you're in Africa or the United States of America, is ruining people's lives and sending people to hell. They come in all wrappers, in all shapes, all personalities. And God loves every one of them. And he's just pointing out that there is definitely a disconnect here. How could you be religious and accept all that God is, but not believe in all that God's doing? And the Bible says he came to seek and to save that which is lost, and it pulls at his heart. When he sees his creation being destroyed by sin. Every little girl out there, every 16-year-old girl that found out today that she's pregnant, every one of them, comes up on God's radar. She sits in a bedroom, in a car, in a lab across the United States of America, and her life's a mess. She doesn't know if she can tell her mom or her dad. May not be able to finish school, has nowhere to turn. But God cares about her. And he doesn't want 16-year-old girls crying, sitting on a bed. You know, there's so much addiction in our country. We look at it because we don't have the problem. You know what? I've never met one drug addict that actually wants to keep doing it. The problem is, it's bigger than him. God knows what sin does to people. That's why we die. Remember this. This is kind of cool. Do you know that God put an angel by the tree of life and guarded it? Because if somebody in their sinful state ate of that tree, they would never die. And God did not want that to ever happen. So he actually put a guard by it. That's how bad sin is, because could you imagine stuck like this for eternity? No way out. And this is as good as it gets. I mean, we think, obviously, there, that must have been pretty bad, Pastor, because he didn't want that to happen. Okay, let's keep going. Let's go down to verse 16. Go down to verse 15. And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked him. So here are these people coming with their kids. They're bringing them to Jesus, asking him to bless their kids, to touch them. And the disciples saw it. And these are his disciples who should have known better. But oftentimes disconnected, you know, a woman at the well, why is he talking to her? Why is he doing this? Why are you pouring the oil on his feet? Why were they saying things like that? Because they were disconnected from the real reason Jesus being here. But Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. So Jesus got on to them. Because here are these kids, this guy's important. You know, he doesn't have time for that. Joe was a teenager in this church. And to be honest with you, one that I thought, I wouldn't have put my money on Joe. If I had to pick, look, Joe, that's just what they did to me too, okay? I mean, people are still surprised. You're a pastor? You know, I'm just telling you that I probably wouldn't have picked him out of the crowd and said, he one day is going to be a pastor of a church in Elizabeth City. And if I told the rest of you that, you would have agreed with me and said that we couldn't see that. But Jesus saw that. Okay? And a youth pastor took heart into a guy that I thought, why are you wasting your time on him for? And I preached for him on Sunday, which was pretty cool. You know why? Because Jesus cares about people. He feels what you feel today. He is not in some glass house disconnected with your pain and your sorrow. He lives it with you and in the world that he made. When he told the story of the Good Samaritan, isn't it funny that he's telling the story? He gets to pick the players in the story. And what does he pick? Religious people. Again. So far, we got a pretty good concrete pad to jump off of here. God's really getting on the religious group of people and saying you have to be very careful about going about religion and being disconnected with what it's all about, and that's the people. And he tells his story. Hey, this guy walks by, looks at him, walks to the other side, and the one, the Levite, actually, it appears, goes over to him and looks at him. Well, something that happens to me in Africa all the time. There's some street beggars. They carry a bottle in their front pocket, kids, and they shove the bottle down in their pocket. And they'll come up to the door and they'll go like this. It's very difficult to sit there while you're having a Coke or you're eating something with a kid doing this. And he's going like this. So, and I used to feel really bad for those particular kids because they're kids. And then one time my guys told me, well, they sniff gas. And they carry a bottle. And I looked down and sure enough, they all had a bottle. So I grabbed one of those bottles one time. I opened it up. There was nothing in it. I took a whiff. Pastor, don't do that. I saw things I shouldn't have ever seen, man. I'm telling you what. I was like, whoa, ho, ho. No wonder you can sleep on the street with a smile. You know? I mean, it was some bad stuff. Don't ever. Well, I thought it was okay because it was empty. But whatever was in there was pretty potent. Okay? Now those kids, I don't give them any money because it's obvious what they're going to do with it. Okay? And they can get off the street. There's all kinds of mission agencies that will take them, but they need to keep learning that lesson a little bit longer. But I tell you what just gets you. It's the obvious people with problems. It's a guy with no legs who's crawling on the ground because he doesn't have a wheelchair. Okay? And he come, or the lady that's got a tumor on her eye and the other eye is missing, and she is obviously blind. And there are some times when you think, well, they're begging. Every time I go to walk away, there's something that takes place like, I can't even tell you. And the further I get away from them, the scarier it gets, and it's almost like God says, if you don't turn around and at least acknowledge her existence, I'm going to take your head off right here. Because who are you? But you know what? It's easy to do that. It's easy to jump in the car. It's easy to turn the news off. It's easy to just not associate with that person that's got the problems. To avoid those that seem like, you know, they might be a little rough. And where you'd find Jesus is right smack in the middle of them. Because he cared about them. He felt that as he ministered on this earth. In fact, in closing, let's just look at a few places where we can see that. If you would go to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36. This is when a group of people had been following the Lord. At the end of the day, they'd walked quite a distance. Verse 36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Now remember who Jesus is. He's God. The creator of the universe is now among his creation. He's standing there, and when he looked at the people that he made, he did not make them that way. Sin has now affected everything. And he's looking at them. And the one that made them was saddened by what's happened to his creation. And he felt bad for them. Well, see, guys, he lives inside of us. Hey, I've been married 25 years. Maggie and I have not gone through a divorce. Somewhere tonight, somebody's getting a divorce. Life's going to get dumped right upside down. Yeah, I can insulate things around me, and none of my kids as of yet have ever been arrested. You know, I say of yet because you just never know. Yeah, I can close up the walls and live in my own little world. But Jesus got out of his. And he came down here and he walked with us. And he couldn't do it without stopping. Having it recorded in the Bible, he felt something. When's the last time you and I felt something for the world that we lived in? You know, I often wondered about how to fill out that piece of paper. Is it just simply a faith thing? I believe that's got a lot to do with it. I also believe there's other obstacles that we might need to overcome as we fill that out. When you go to fill it out this time, ask him to help you feel what he feels. Because it's easy to get cold and indifferent to the things around us. Just clear your mind, sit with your Bible and devotions, and just say, it scares me sometimes, I don't feel anymore. I sing the songs in church, I know there's people dying and going to hell, but I can go day after day, not think about it. In Matthew chapter 23 and verse 37, Matthew chapter 23, and verse 37. Okay, let's see, Matthew chapter 23. What did I write down? Matthew 23 and verse 37. Jesus said this, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, this is as he was overlooking that city. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Now, if any group of people he would have a reason to be a little cold-hearted to would be this group of people, because that's who was getting ready to nail him to a cross. And he knew that. He's standing there, he's overlooking the city. And here's what he says about that same group of people that would eventually nail him to the cross. He says, if you only knew what I wanted to do for you, how often I would have been glad to gather you in and put you under my wings. Even as he was going to the cross, he could feel the humanity that's here, the pain, which is why he was faithful. There's another verse in the Bible that talks about that creation itself groaneth and travaileth. Okay? Why did he use those words? Because if you could put your ear, you ever did this when you were a kid, you go to a railroad track, put your, I don't know what we were listening for, never heard it, you know, but apparently you could hear a train coming, you know, or my dad used to say, if you do this, you can hear the animals like the Indians, and I didn't hear anything. But if you could just stop for a minute and put your ear to this earth and hear what Jesus heard, you would hear the cries from human beings as sin affects them. Jesus, when he's on the cross, did to me one of the greatest things I've ever seen anybody ever do. He's nailed to that cross, and he says, Father, forgive them. Jesus wouldn't want God to do anything to them that day. It wasn't what he wanted. That could have happened. He could have called 10,000 angels and everybody paid right there. He didn't want that because he cares about us. Now here's the thing. I can't make you feel what he feels. I know that it has to be pretty real because he's taking his bride and asking her to live there. Something got a hold of him. Something got a hold of him. And what we need to do is ask God tonight in this pew to please let us see what he saw. Because I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't want to go live in Boston. I don't want to have a drug addict outside my door. You know, as a pastor, I've had to deal with it. There's one guy in our church. He was on heroin and he wanted to get off of it. So I gave him my card. I said, listen, I don't care if it's 2 o'clock in the morning, you call me. Well, I had changed clothes. Card was in my pants. Maggie gets a call I wrote down the guy's name. Maggie gets a call in the morning. I'm at church. There's a little seedy hotel down the road where nobody would ever stay in their right mind. There's two prostitutes in that hotel room. The guy is in the hotel room. They're calling my wife and saying, you got to come get him. He's unresponsive. And they're not calling the police for obvious reasons. So I run over there. They're dumping water on him, trying to get him to come back. I mean, his eyes are rolling back in his head. So I grab him, stiff as a board, throw him in the car. He's got needles and junk in his pocket. You know, I'm trying not to get poked. And one of the ladies said, oh, pastor, he borrowed $30, $50 off me. And I'm thinking, yeah, right. you know, I just kind of put it out of my head and said, right now, let me get him to the hospital. Honest to God story. I'm in the hospital. They're pumping stuff down him. I mean, it's nasty. We're trying to get his pants off. They're short in the ER, so I'm actually helping. She sticks her head in the ER and says, do you have my $50? At that point, I kind of lost it a little bit because I know she wasn't the Avon lady, okay? You know, I went out there and said, I ain't paying nothing. Sorry. You know, I'm not getting involved in that. But that let me into a little bit of window about how cruel the world is to its own people. She didn't care about that guy. Could have cared less. And then he yelled at me because I violated his parole by taking him to the hospital. I'm thinking, I'll take you to the cemetery. Yeah. Okay, to be honest with you, I don't know if I could go live there. But I tell you what would be very beneficial for us tonight as we close this out. Just take a few minutes and ask God if he would do something for us. That God would let us see what this man and this man saw. What convinced them to take their families and move them to that place to serve the Lord? And if we could just see that and be reconnected with the people that God cared about, Pastor, it might be a little easier to fill that card out. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the truth that's in the Word. And Lord, it's easy to forget about people. And Lord, I know, just sitting here thinking, I live with people that suffer. People that I care about, people that I love. But they're not just in Africa. They're everywhere. And Lord, I pray you have blessed us. You've blessed this church. Lord, you've allowed us to have great families. Lord, and life is good for us. But help us never to be like the religious group of people we read about tonight that so often became disconnected with the people around them. How could they ever say and do the things that they did? But then it gets very humbling when we ourselves are guilty of doing the same thing. Father, I pray that you would move in our heart the way you did in these two men's heart, asking them to go to places that's not that attractive, asking them to spend their lives reaching those people. And Father, we could all do very well by visiting that same place in our heart tonight. And God, help us to see what you see when you look down on this world. We love you. We ask this in your precious name. Amen, Pastor.